Psalm 23. I just want to read a portion of verse 1. Psalm 23. I think we've all been to Sunday school once or twice, right? So we ought to know this one. Amen. Simply says, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I just want to talk a few moments about field experience. Field experience. People of God, while matriculating through the Morehouse School of Religion, there at the ITC, the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta, Georgia, one of the core requirements within the curriculum was an intro-level pastoral care course. In this course, church, my classmates and I were charged with the responsibility of securing an observation or internship site to fulfill the field experience requirement of the course. The selected site had to be in some way relative to the concept of pastoral care. For example, my place of observation for the course was a women's and children's facility called Jesse's Place there in the heart of Birmingham. As we completed our times of field experience, we would report back to our designated small groups that were led by one of the co-professors. In these small groups, we shared what is called verbatims. These verbatims detailed our various encounters during our field experience. And these moments of sharing, church, soon became personal and emotional as tears were shed and shared. We learned lessons not so much about the course material, but more so about ourselves and about God. These lessons, church, were not birthed from within the confines of a traditional classroom, but instead through our moments in the field. In other words, it was our field experience that ushered us into new revelations about ourselves and about our God. One more time, it was our field experience that ushered us into new revelations about ourselves and about our God. And as we find ourselves scripturally situated here in this 23rd Psalm, I believe David shares a revelation from his own field experience. That David begins, church, with an emphatic declaration of dependence on God, saying what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We must understand that David, having once held the responsibility of tending to his father's sheep, was a shepherd himself. David, having once held the responsibility of tending to his father's sheep, was a shepherd himself. Therefore, this revelation of God shared by David, the Lord is my shepherd, is brought to life through the lens of his own experience. I need you to hear that, church. This revelation of God shared by David, the Lord is my shepherd, is brought to life through the lens of his own experience. David did not learn of a divine yet shepherd-like presence through a canonized collection of texts, but he learned this in the sheep field. One more time, David did not learn of a divine yet shepherd-like presence through a canonized collection of texts, but he learned this in the sheep field. Might I suggest, church, that it's the same with you and I. The full of your knowledge and understanding of yourself and of God does not solely come from a text, but a testimony. I said it does not solely come from a text, but a testimony. And I know you read your word daily. You spend time in devotion, praying and studying the word of God. But someone can help me right through here. You not only thank God for the text, text. You not only thank God for the experience of those in the Bible and their experience with God, but you have your own experience that testifies to who God has been in your life. I thank God for the text, but I have my own testimony. I thank God for the word, but I've seen him work in my life. I thank God for what God said, but I also know what God has done. And I'm not talking about for the children of Israel. I'm not talking about for David. I'm not talking about for any other person in the Bible. I know what God has done for me. So I was wondering, is there anybody at the main campus on a Wednesday afternoon, maybe watching online, that can say, preacher, I thank God for the text, but I also have a testimony. God says to us, church, the fullness of your knowledge and understanding of self and God did not solely come from a text, but what? A testimony. Therefore, I raise the question to you, what experiences in your life have assisted in the shaping of who you know God to be? What life events have contributed to your faith journey? What has prepared you for where you are today? And what is preparing you for where you are headed? And while you ponder these questions, I want to suggest that that's your own field experience. Those experiences that shape, contribute, and prepare you, those experiences that have ushered you into who you are today, that are even preparing you for who God desires for you to be. And so here's the lesson, here's the guiding thought. God uses our seasons in the field to provide life-sustaining revelations about ourselves and about God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God uses our seasons in the field to provide life-sustaining revelations about ourselves and about God. So as we look at this first verse, I believe there are a couple of things we should note before we really dive in. First, church, this first concerns David. As he offers his declaration of dependence, I believe we learn about David's humility. In that David says, the Lord is my shepherd, he, in essence, likens himself to what? To a sheep. Sheep are not known for their intelligence, and as a result, they literally need a shepherd. Could David here be suggesting, church, that he too needs God? While we are not exactly sure of the time in which this psalm was written, I believe David's words here suggest that no matter how high he ascends, even when he is the king, he needs God. The Lord is my shepherd points us to David's humility. But not only must we acknowledge the humility of David, I believe it also teaches us a lesson about the proximity of God. Notice, church, David does not refer to God as king. He does not refer to God as commander. But instead, he says, the Lord is my what? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is not his king in this moment. The Lord is not his commander in this moment. But the Lord is his shepherd. God, being David's shepherd, speaks to how close he is to our experience. It's not hard to find or locate God. He's not far away. And I believe David unpacks this as the psalm progresses. He says that the shepherd leads and walks with him. David says that God is close to me. When I lower myself in humility, God then lowers himself in proximity. Can I tell you what David is saying when David says the Lord is my shepherd? He says, I need God, and I need him every day. I need him every day. There's not a day that I can live without God. I need him every day. And when I lower myself in humility, God lowers himself in proximity. In Psalm 27, David says it this way: one thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David says, not just one day, but all the days of my life, I need him. I want to be in his presence. In Psalm 40, David says, I waited patiently on the Lord. David says, I waited on the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He inclined to me, and he heard my cry. That word inclined means to bend down. He bent down, and he heard my cry. When I lowered myself in humility, God lowers himself in proximity, and he listens to me. He walks with me, not just one day, but every day of my life. Draw near to God, and he will do what? Draw near to you. When I lower myself in humility, God lowers himself in proximity. And I believe, church, we see these two elements at work in David's life. And what I want to do is I want to use a couple of moments from David's life to help us understand how David can come to the realization, how this revelation is birthed out of his experience as a shepherd, so that David can come to the point where he can say what? The Lord is my shepherd. So what does David discover during his field experience? I'm so glad you asked. Number one, David discovers that he is God's choice. David discovers that he's God's choice. 1 Samuel chapter 16, read it when you get a chance. After Saul is rejected by God, God sends his prophet Samuel to Bethlehem because David has been chosen by God. But what I love about 1 Samuel chapter 16 is that God does not tell Samuel which son he is to anoint. Samuel has to be open and listen and hear the voice of God and trust God throughout the process. So when Samuel gets to the house, the Bible says he sees David's older brother Eliab, and Samuel says, man, you got to be the one. You look like the next king of Israel. But then God speaks to Samuel and says, wait a minute, brother, pump your brakes. Hold on. That's not the one that I've chosen to lead my people. He says, you've got to understand, Samuel, God does not see like man sees. He says, man looks at what the outward appearance, but God looks where? God looks at your heart. And so Samuel, that's not the one. They had another son named Abinadab, but God said, that's not the one. There were seven sons total to come before Samuel, but God said no. And when Samuel asked Jesse, do you have any more children? And he says, I got one more boy, but he's out there in the sheep field. And Samuel says, we're not doing anything else until he comes in the room. We're not going another further until he comes in the room. And David comes in the room. And now we discover that though he was overlooked, though he was an afterthought in the mind of his family and even his own father, he was God's choice. He was in the sheep field, but God saw him. He was doing the dirty work, but God saw him. He was in the background, but God saw him, and he's anointed the next king, because even though while he was in the field, nobody else saw him, but God did. Can I park right here and ask if I have anybody in the room, maybe watching online, that can say, preacher, I know how David feels, because I've been overlooked. I've been an afterthought. If it's up to people, they wouldn't have chose me. But thanks be to God, it was not up to them. It was up to God. Let me testify going into undergrad at UAB, my test scores weren't the best. I'm dressing it up. They weren't good at all, you know. They weren't that good, right? Therefore, they placed me in a lower level English course during my first semester. Part of that course search was for me to spend scheduled one-on-one time with my professor, Dr. Miriam Bellis. In our first meeting, she blessed me because I know I'm smarter than this. I know my test scores weren't the best, but I know I don't belong here. I'm not the brightest, but I ain't the baddest either. You understand. But in our first meeting, Dr. Bellis, she blessed me after going over something I'd written. She says, "It seems as though you're already a pretty good writer and should not be in this class." Here I am, I'm tripping, I'm feeling some type of way because I'm in this lower level English course, and my professor, who didn't know me at all, she just went over something that I'd written in our first meeting together, and she says, "It seems like you already got it. It seems like that you are a pretty good writer already, and you do not belong in this class." She blessed me, church, because in that moment, she saw me and not my test scores. She saw my ability and not what some standardized test indicated about me. In that moment, she let me know that where I currently was not indicative of who I am, who I am to become, or my ability. She let me know that the field I was in did not define me. And can I tell you why I love this moment? Not just in my life, not just in your life, but in David's life. I love this because David was God's choice, and that choice was realized in the field. David was God's choice, and that choice was realized in the field. David learns that he's God's choice, not in a time of affluence and achievement. David learns that he's God's choice, not when he ascends to the palace, but David learns that he's God's choice while he's working in the field. Can we thank God that God will affirm you in some of the unlikely moments in your life, in some of the most unlikely times and unlikely seasons and unlikely spaces in your lifetimes where you are not necessarily indicative of who you believe you are and who God has called you to be? God will speak to you and let you know that you are his child, you are anointed, you are favored, and maybe that's why God has us sharing together today, because someone here feels like they're in their own field experience, but God wants you to know that he can affirm you even now. He wants you to know that what he has for you is still for you. He wants you to know that your dreams will come true. He wants you to know that he is walking with you. He is still calling you and has still purposed you. David said, "Johnson, listen, don't just tell him that I was God's choice." He said, "But you gotta watch the verse." He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Which says, David says, I'm his choice, but he's also my choice. David said, I don't mean no harm, but let me make this thing personal for a moment. Yes, he chose me, but I'm also choosing him. Yes, he chose me, but I'm also making him my choice. The Lord is my shepherd. And I know we're in a corporate and communal space where we're worshiping together, but everyone in here ought to be able to say, I'm glad he chose me, but I'm choosing him. Every day of my life, I make a declaration, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. David, while in the field, during a time where he's working, a time where he's tending to sheep, he's made to know that he's God's choice. And maybe somebody needs to know, despite the field you're in, you're still God's choice. And where you are is not indicative of where God desires for you to be. David discovers that he's God's choice. But then, church, not only does he discover that he's God's choice, David develops faith for the future. While in the field, he develops faith for the future. I believe, church, David carried the confidence of being anointed in chapter 16 to the next chapter and through the remainder of his life. We talked about chapter 16, but some of you know what happens in chapter 17. In chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, David is sent to the battlefield by his father to deliver food to his brothers. Upon his arrival, church, he sees that there is a Philistine giant named Goliath daring and defying the armies of the living God. When he gets there, he's on assignment from his father, but he realizes that, hey, he has an even greater assignment from God, and that assignment is to take on this giant. And so while everybody else is scared, while everybody else is chicken, while everybody else is not willing to face and fight Goliath, David steps on the scene, and David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who's defying the armies of the living God? David says, if nobody else will fight you, I'll fight you. I'll take you on. David steps up to the challenge. When everybody else lacks the courage, David steps up to the challenge, and there were those who felt as though David was being a little bit too ambitious. David, you're not a soldier. You're not a warrior. You don't even have the right equipment. You don't even have the right armor. His brothers even told him, David, sit down somewhere, man. Go back home. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. Everyone tried to dissuade David. However, David would not be denied. They told him, man, you're just a shepherd. You just tend to sheep. And David said, let me tell you something about my experience while I was in the field. Y'all not catching me. He said, let me tell you something about my experience in the field. He says, the reason why I'm not worried about this giant, the reason why I have the courage to take on this giant, because when I was in the field tending to my father's sheep, there was a lion and a bear who sought to attack my sheep. And David says, the same God that gave me victory in the field, in the sheep field, is going to give me the victory against this giant. David told them, church, that the same God that gave him the victory then is going to do it for him now. In other words, David has courage on this battlefield because of his experience in the sheep field. Here's the lesson, church. Yesterday's field experience provides courage for the battles ahead. Today's field experience moments are preparing you with the courage to face tomorrow's battles and defeat tomorrow's giants. David says, I'm okay with fighting on the battlefield because God's been with me my whole life, and God was with me in the sheep field.
I like David because David didn't say, because I know how to use my slingshot. David did not say, because I have such great experience on the battlefield. He says, no, the reason why I'm able to fight on this field is because I trust in God, not my weapons, not my ability. I trust in God, not my experience, not my expertise. I trust in God. I trust in what I know about God. I trust in my experience with God. And David says, I know enough about God to know that if he did it then, he can do it again. I might not be facing a lion and a bear this time, but even though it's a different situation, it's the same God. Do I have anybody in here that can say, preacher, that's why I'm not worried about the giant that I'm facing, because God has helped me be victorious in times past. This ain't my first battle. God has been with me and given me previous victories. And the reason why I'm not worried, the reason why I'm not concerned, is because I've learned to not trust in my education, not trust in my degrees, not trust in my ability, not trust in my knowledge, not trust in my know-how and how-to, but I trust in God. I trust in God. That's why I have the courage. That's why I have the peace to face these different challenges and battles. Because God has been with me before, and God is with me now. That's how David is able to say the Lord is my shepherd. That's how David is able to say, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, because God has been with him in times past. And he says he's with me now. Could this be, church, why David says the Lord is? The Lord, he is. The Lord is, not was, but the Lord is, not will be, not shall be, but the Lord is. It says to us that our shepherd, our God, is a consistent presence. He's a shepherd for every season of our lives. The late Dr. E.K. Bailey said it this way, that God is our eternal contemporary. He always is. He was here before time began, and when time ends, he will still be here. The Lord is. The Lord is. He's a shepherd for every season of my life. Now, when I was trying to figure out how I would end this little whatnot, I thought about, one of the conversations that people like to throw around in the world of sports is the GOAT debate. Who's the GOAT? For those of you who might not know what GOAT means, it means greatest of all time. Especially when it comes to the NBA, basketball, and all of that. That conversation usually centered around two players. Now, I got my own personal opinion. We can talk about that at church if you like. But, yeah, it's usually centered around two individuals, Michael Jordan and LeBron James. For this moment, we want to talk about LeBron James. LeBron James, church, he's a great player. He's a great basketball player, great individual. He's achieved a lot on and off the court. But one of the things they say about LeBron that makes him great is how at 6'8", 6'9", 250 pounds, give or take, how he has the ability to play multiple positions. On offense, he can be a forward, he can be a guard, he can play point guard, he can play the four, he can even play the five, which means he can be a power forward or he can be a center. He has the ability to play multiple positions, not just on offense, but also on defense. On defense, he's athletic enough to defend guards like Steph Curry, but he's also big enough, strong enough, and tall enough to defend players like Giannis. He's athletic enough to defend guards like Steph Curry, but then he's big enough and strong enough to defend players like Giannis. He's a great player because he can play multiple positions. There aren't many situations you can put him in that will compromise him or the team, because he's a great player and he can play multiple positions. He can play the one, he can play the two, three, four, or five. Wherever you put him on the court, he can get buckets and he can defend. And they call him King James because of his ability on the court. He plays multiple positions, but here it is, church, they call him King James, and he plays basketball because he plays multiple positions, because he has the ability to defend any player and play any role on the offensive side of the ball. But I know another king who also plays multiple positions. I know somebody else who also can be put in various situations and yet still be successful. David calls him his shepherd, and David says, he as my shepherd, he plays multiple positions. He does more. He does more than I could ever imagine. What does he do, David? David says, he's my shepherd, I shall not want. What does he do, David? He makes me lie down in green pastures. What does he do, David? He leads me beside the still waters. What does he do, David? He restores my soul. What else, David? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What else does he do, David? David says, when I get down in the valley of the shadows of death, he says, I will fear no evil because I got a shepherd that plays multiple positions, and I'm not going to be scared because he is with me, and his rod and his staff, they comfort me. David, you got to tell me some more. What else does he do, David? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. And David says, at the end of the day, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Good afternoon, church. Thank you for listening. I got to go now, but I was wondering if I had anybody in the room that can say, I thank God for the word, Pastor Dean. I thank God for the text, but I got my own testimony. And my testimony is, he's been a God in my life that has played multiple positions. He's been a healer. He's been a provider. He's been a protector. He's been a waymaker. He's been a promise keeper. He's been my light in my darkness. Grandmama called him a rock in a weary land, shelter in the time of storm. He's the kind of God that plays multiple positions in my life. And because of who I've known him to be, because of my field experience, I can make my declaration about God. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And he's able to come to that conclusion because of his own experience. I thank God for the word, but I also thank God for his work in my life. And so I read about their experiences, but God has also given me my own experience.